Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today we're focusing on something really critical, maybe even invisible sometimes, in any legal fight.
Yeah, that moment a lawsuit officially kicks off.
Exactly. And it hinges on this one technical step. If you mess this up, the whole case, doesn't matter how strong it is, it can just fall apart.
On a technicality, it happens.
That's right.
That's why today we're diving into the role of the process server.
Ah, yes. The person behind the scenes.
They're the essential link, really, making sure legal actions actually move forward the right way. Their job sounds simple. Deliver legal documents.
But it's not just dropping mail off.
No, not at all. It's about providing official, undeniable notice that a legal action has started.
And this whole mechanism, it supports something massive, right? The foundation of legal fairness.
Due process, absolutely.
The right to due process, meaning you, if you're being sued, have to be legally told about it before the court can do anything.
It's the bedrock. If that service of process, the delivery, is faulty, well, the court basically can't hear the case. It lacks jurisdiction.
Wow. So it stops right there.
It stops right there. It's foundational. Lawyers can't just, you know, skip it.
Okay, so before we get into the nitty-gritty, the tactics, the really strict rules here, and believe me, they are strict, We have to do our mandatory disclaimer. What we talk about today is general info. It is absolutely not legal advice.
Crucial distinction.
If you've been served papers or you're thinking about suing someone, you need to talk to a qualified attorney right away. Discuss your specific situation.
Please do. Get proper legal counsel.
Always. Okay, let's unpack this. The process server. Who is this person, actually?
Okay.
They walk up to doors, sometimes with pretty heavy news, like an eviction notice. But they aren't cops. So what's their legal status? Why neutral?
That neutrality is key. A process server is appointed by the court specifically as a neutral third party.
Oh, okay.
They're basically an official messenger for the court system.
Okay.
Nothing more. They are not police officers. No power to arrest, no power to enforce what's in the documents.
So their only power comes from the court just to deliver that notice? Is that it?
That's exactly it. And their role has to be neutral because serving the papers, the service of process, it's a non-negotiable legal requirement.
Right.
If the server had some kind of stake in the case, like if they were the one suing.
Ah, conflict of interest.
Big time. The service would be invalid immediately.
Right.
Bias. That third-party status is what makes the delivery stand up if it gets challenged later.
Makes total sense. You need that impartiality. But it sounds really technical. If the whole case can fail based on how these papers are delivered, what are the main things a process server absolutely has to get right?
Oh, it's very technical. And the rules can vary a bit, you know, state to state, parish to parish.
Uh-huh.
But there are three core duties, universal duties. If they fumble any one of these, The service is bad. Case stalls.
Okay, lay them out for us. What's number one?
First, and sometimes this is the hardest part, they have to locate the person or the right business. If it's a company being sued, they need to verify the current address, confirm they've got the right individual. This can mean some real investigative legwork. Surveillance sometimes.
Okay, they even knock on the door.
Often, yes. Huh. Got to make sure you're serving the correct Jane Doe, not just a Jane Doe.
Makes sense. If you serve the wrong person, it's useless. Okay, duty number two.
Second is delivering the papers. And this has to be done exactly according to the rules of that specific place.
Jurisdiction matters.
Hugely. So, for instance, here in Louisiana, they have to follow the Louisiana rules of civil procedure to the letter. Very strict standards.
And it's not just, like, leaving it in the mailbox?
Definitely not.
Yeah.
Sometimes the law demands personal service, literally putting the documents into the defendant's hand.
Okay.
Other times, domiciliary service might be allowed leaving them with an adult who lives in the defendant's home. The server has to know which method is required for that specific document and situation and get it perfect.
Wow. Okay. So they need to know the rules inside out. And the third step, this sounds like the proof part.
That's it. Exactly. The third and absolutely critical duty is providing proof.
Why do they do that?
They fill out, sign, and get notarized a sworn legal document. It's usually called an affidavit of service, sometimes a return of service.
An affidavit? So it's serious.
Very serious. It details the who, what, when, where, and how of the service. Exact time, place, manner of delivery. Often includes a physical description of the person served.
Okay.
That affidavit gets filed with the court. It becomes the official legal proof that delivery happened correctly.
And you called it undeniable proof earlier. Why is it considered so solid in court?
Well, because it's sworn testimony. It's made under penalty of perjury, like testifying in court, basically.
Gotcha.
So if the person later says, nobody ever served me, that affidavit is the court's official record saying, yes, you were.
Can lawyers challenge it?
Oh, absolutely. They'll try to poke holes in it. Maybe the description is vague or they claim the time or date is wrong. But unless they can prove the affidavit is actually fraudulent or, you know, factually impossible, the court typically accepts it as valid proof of service.
It really is a delicate process then, finding them, delivering correctly, proving it perfectly.
Every step matters.
And what kind of documents are we talking about here? It's not just one type of legal notice, is it?
No, not at all. It's the whole spectrum of civil court documents. It could be the very first papers, the summons and petition, that actually start the lawsuit.
On big ones.
Right. Or it could be subpoenas for witnesses, forcing them to testify or produce documents.
Yeah.
Time-sensitive stuff.
And the impact varies hugely depending on the paper.
Exactly. Think about wage garnishments. That directly hits someone's paycheck.
Oof, yeah.
Or complex family law cases, divorce papers, child support orders, and things that need immediate action, like eviction notices.
So they handle things for all sorts of courts, like local city courts and bigger district courts.
Yep. Whether it's for, say, the Baton Rouge City Court or a larger jurisdiction like the 19th Judicial District Court, the fundamental need for that precise, procedurally perfect service, it's always there. They're the ones who get those wheels turning.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting for me. You've got official channels, right? Like the sheriff's office. They can serve papers, too.
They can.
So why would a lawyer or a firm pay extra for a private professional process server? What's the actual advantage there?
It really boils down to three things.
Yeah.
Speed, priority, and persistence.
Okay.
When you hire a professional process serving company, serving those civil papers, that is their only job, their sole mission.
Right, whereas the sheriff's deputies, they have crime fighting, emergencies, lots of other, frankly, higher priorities.
Exactly. Civil process is important, but it often has to wait. A sheriff's office might get a stack of papers and work through them when they have time, typically during standard business hours.
9 to 5-ish.
Pretty much.
All right.
A private server. They work around the clock if needed. Evenings, weekends, holidays, whenever the person is most likely to be actually found.
They're more flexible.
Much more. And they're generally more persistent. They might make 5, 10, even 15 attempts at different times, different days. The sheriff might only try a couple of times.
So what does that mean in terms of actual time saved? Are we talking days, weeks?
It can be significant. With institutional service like the sheriff, you could easily be waiting weeks, sometimes longer, depending on their backlog.
Okay.
With a good professional server, what they call a routine serve, is usually done in, say, 3 to 5 business days.
That's much faster.
Much faster.
Yeah.
But here's the critical part. For urgent situations, professional services offer rush service, maybe 24 to 48 hours, or even same-day service.
Wow, same day. When would you need that?
Think about a temporary restraining order that needs to be served immediately to be effective.
Yeah.
Or maybe the deadline to file the lawsuit, the statute of limitations, is about to expire tomorrow. You need service now. That speed is invaluable.
Okay, you mentioned speed and persistence, but that rush, the same-day service, doesn't that increase the risk of making a mistake, especially on that affidavit you talked about, the proof? Seems like rushing could lead to errors.
That's a really sharp question, and it gets right to why experience is so critical in this field.
Ah.
A top-tier professional server knows speed can't sacrifice accuracy. They have protocols, checklists, procedures they follow rigidly, even under time pressure.
So it's built into their process.
Exactly. They understand that a rushed service with a messed up affidavit is worse than useless. It actually harms the case. So attorneys rely on servers with a proven track record, people who specialize in this, and know how to maintain that strict adherence to the rules no matter how tight the deadline.
Got it. Okay, let's tackle the elephant in the room, or maybe the person not in the room. What happens when someone is actively trying to avoid getting served?
Yes. Evasion.
This must happen all the time. And it seems like this is where the server really has to use specific skills and legal know-how.
Yeah.
It absolutely does. If they show up and the person is clearly dodging them, you know, not answering the door when they're obviously home, pretending to be someone else,
yeah.
The server has to adapt. They'll try different times a day, maybe early morning, late evening. They might do discreet stakeout, just watch the place for a bit.
Mm.
Or try serving them at their workplace, if that's legally permitted for that type of service. Persistence, again, is key.
But what if the person isn't just dodging the doorbell? What if they've actually moved, packed up, left no forwarding address, genuinely trying to hide.
Okay, now we're getting into the more advanced stuff.
Yeah.
If the primary address turns out to be bad, or the person has truly vanished, that's when a professional server uses skip tracing.
Skip tracing. Can you define that for us? What does that actually involve?
Sure. Skip tracing is essentially professional detective work focused on locating people for legal purposes. It involves using specialized databases, some public, some private, subscription-based ones, checking utility records, professional licenses, sometimes even carefully analyzing social media clues, public records.
Oh, yeah.
It's about piecing together information to find someone who has skipped out.
So it's way beyond just a quick online search.
Oh, absolutely. It's complex investigative work. It takes specific training, access to the right tools, and frankly, years of experience to do it well and legally.
I know the materials mentioned Scott Frank, the founder of Lafayette Process Servers, has deep expertise in skip tracing. Makes sense now why that's such a valuable skill in this line of work.
It's indispensable. Because if you can't find the person,
you can't serve them.
Right. The case stalls. So good skip tracing can uncover a new valid address, and then the server can proceed with the service there.
Okay. Here's the scenario everyone wonders about. The server finds the person, confirms it's them. They go to hand over the papers, maybe say, "You've been served." The person realizes what's happening, maybe yells, "I'm not taking those," and slams the door or runs off without touching the documents. Served or not served?
Ah, the classic refusal. Yes. In almost every jurisdiction, the answer is they are legally served.
Really? Even if they don't touch the papers?
Yes. This is a super important point of law. If the process server has correctly identified the person,
that identification step is key.
Crucial. And they then tender the papers, basically, make it clear they're attempting to hand them over the law, generally considers that delivery complete, even if the person physically refuses to accept them.
So slamming the door is pointless. It actually might make it easier for the server to document the refusal.
Pretty much. The critical legal moment isn't necessarily the paper changing hands. It's the positive identification and the clear offer of service. The server has fulfilled their duty to notify the defendant.
What does the server do then? Just leave.
No, they'll typically drop the papers right there at the person's feet or leave them in their immediate vicinity, maybe wedge them in the door if possible. Then they document the refusal, the time, the place, the description, all in that affidavit of service. Service complete.
Wow. So you can't just defeat the whole legal system by being difficult at the doorstep.
Exactly. It prevents people from frustrating the process through simple avoidance or petulance. And that's another reason why professional experience counts.
So
someone with, you know, decades in legal support who knows the courthouse procedures inside and out, like Scott Frank was mentioned, they know exactly how to handle that refusal, how to document it perfectly so it holds up in court. They take the guesswork and the risk out of it for the attorney and their client.
Okay, so let's try and wrap this up. What's the big takeaway from this deep dive? It seems like process servers are way more than just delivery guys.
Oh, absolutely. They are the reliable, neutral experts making sure that foundational step of legal fairness actually happens.
They handle the risk of procedural mistakes.
Exactly. They ensure the complex machinery of the civil justice system can actually start running and run fairly.
So we keep coming back to that core idea. The service of process is essential.
It's the mechanism. It guarantees due process by ensuring notice is given. Without that proper delivery, documented meticulously in the affidavit,
the case stalls.
The case cannot move forward to actually decide the dispute. Simple as that.
It really is the silent foundation. Okay, we talked a lot about how technical it is and how refusing the papers doesn't stop service if the person's identified.
Right. The delivery part is pretty solid because of that refusal rule.
So here's something to chew on after listening. If lawyers know that arguing about the refusal itself is usually a losing battle, where do you think they focus their energy when they want to challenge the service in a really tough case?
Mm.
They can't easily attack the delivery if the person refused it. So doesn't that make the first step, the identification step, the most vulnerable point? Arguing the server got the wrong person or maybe served them at the wrong place entirely.
You hit the nail on the head. That is precisely where skilled attorneys will often focus their challenge. If they can cast credible doubt on the server's identification of the individual, or prove the service happened at an incorrect location, according to the rules.
They could invalidate the whole thing.
They could invalidate the entire service, which makes that initial locate and identify work by the server not just the first step, but arguably the most legally critical and potentially contentious part of their job.
Fascinating. And a bit high stakes. Which brings us, fittingly, to our final reminder.
Yes. This has all been general information. It is absolutely not a substitute for personalized legal advice.
Please, if you have questions about your own situation, talk to a qualified attorney.
Always consult your lawyer.